If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Exodus and the third chapter of that book, chapter 3 in Exodus. In this few verses, I'm going to start at the very first verse in chapter 3. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your shoes off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Moses, take your shoes off, for the place you're standing is holy ground. You're standing in my presence. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. The Lord said, I have heard the oppression of your people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry, for I know their sorrows, and I have come down to deliver them. God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, you're standing in awesome presence. You can't stand there with your shoes on. Take your shoes off. Because you have to stand humbly, real humbly, in the presence of God. And let me continue reading a little. We're going to read a little today in John's Gospel. I want you to notice this story in John's Gospel, in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany with Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, made for him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those that sat at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and used to take what was in it. Then Jesus said, Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. The poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now, this story is Jesus is invited after he's raised Lazarus from the dead, just a few days before the Passover, he's invited back to their house. And Martha is serving, and Mary is always worshiping. Thank God for Mary. And Lazarus is sitting with Jesus. And after the dinner, Mary goes and takes this expensive, worth a year's wages. 1 year's wages would be, in our today, thousands of dollars. And takes this, and apparently his feet had been washed, or she washed them, either, I don't know. But usually when they came in, the servant someone washed their feet because they had no socks. They wore sandals. Their feet were dirty. And this was a custom. Jesus mentions that on another occasion. So his feet have been washed, but she takes them and goes and takes his shoes off, his sandals off, and kneels down, and it says she washes him and takes her hair and dries his feet and anoints his feet with this oil. It's his feet, not his head. Now get this. She anoints his feet, not his head. Because this is going to speak to the world, and his feet are anointed. And the fragrance fills the place, fills the room. Fabulous fragrance. The humility of Jesus fills the earth with his fragrance. It's the humility, his feet. Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing in God's presence, your feet, and you're standing without shoes. In humility, it's humility that's absolutely important. And his humility, the fragrance of his dying. Jesus said, this is done for my burial. This is done for my death. This is done for my death ahead of time. It's my death that she's anointing my feet because I'm going to die. A most humble death. And the fragrance of my death, of my humble death, will fill the world. It'll fill eternity, the fragrance. Pride stinks of death. Humility smells of God. Now another chapter I want to read to you. Skip over now to the next, just one chapter further over to 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. I love that. And supper was ended. The devil had entered the heart of, had already entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot and to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, everything has been now given to him from the Father, that he had come from God, he was God in the flesh, and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, laid off his seamless robe, took a towel, after he had poured water in a basin, he kneels down and begins to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he has girded. Jesus Christ took the job of the lowest there is. He is God Almighty in the flesh. God, born of the Virgin Mary. God in the form of a man, Jesus. And he takes his robe aside, gets down on his knees, and does what the lowest human on earth did. The lowest were servants that washed feet at the doors. You came in, you took your shoes off, your sandals off, and they washed your feet. You sat down, they washed your feet. Jesus Christ washed those disciples' feet. Washed their feet. Every one of them washed their feet. Judas washed his feet. Came to Peter. Peter couldn't handle it. He could not. It was more than he could take. And Peter just, he had a job with this. Came to Peter. Peter said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus said to him, what I'm doing, you don't understand, but you will know. You'll know. Peter said to Jesus, You shall never wash my feet. Never. How can I let you wash my feet, Jesus? Jesus said, if I don't wash you, Peter, you have no part with me. He said, Lord, wash my feet, my hands, my head. Please wash me. Jesus said to him, he that is bathed needs only to wash his feet. You're all clean, but your feet are dirty. But it's completely clean and you're clean, but not all of you. He knew who it was that would betray him. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat back down, he said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, and so I am. For I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example. What you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he that is sent greater than him who has sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. He said, not only did he wash their feet, he said, you take my example and never exalt yourself above that of a servant. Always. Never get above that. Always, always keep your shoes off. Ben Crandall, keep your shoes off. Don't ever get lifted up with pride. Satan is always out to get us to lift ourselves up. That's the devil. Jesus always wants us to come down because God came down. Jesus Christ came down, humbled himself, and to wash their feet, folks, was the simplest thing for him to do. That really was easy for him to do, to humble himself to that extent, because Jesus Christ humbled himself to take our place in death. He humbled himself to take the cross, to be rejected, to be spit on, to be beaten. And I was just reading that again. And when Pilate was asking to let him go and they wouldn't let him go, he sent him out and had him beaten by the Romans almost to death. Beat that man. And he took it. He took it. Humbled himself to take your place and my place. He took it. I mean, it hurt his back just like it would have hurt yours. It's hard for us to get that. It's hard for Ben Crandall to get it. I'm not blaming you. It's hard for me to get it. I need to get it. I need to get it. I need it. Because Jesus Christ let him strip his clothes off, beat him unmercifully, took our place, carried our cross out. They mocked him. They slapped him. They pulled his beard out. They spit at him in his face. He was a man, a person. He felt it. And then took our, on the cross, lay down and nailed his feet to the tree, nailed him there. Powerful. Stretched his arms out, nailed his hands, drove those nails, had to nail them right up here, because if they nail them down here, they pull tears out. They had to nail them right there so it wouldn't pull out. So they hang him naked. They mocked him, hand him. But that wasn't the worst, was when God had to not look at him, and he took our sin and suffered being lost, and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God turned his back on his only son when he bore our sin. He suffered the experience of being lost, of a lost soul. So we must walk and receive him. Yes, he did that. He took it for you, for me. There is no way in the world for us to lift ourselves up. We have to walk, because only when you walk in humility can you walk with Jesus. Only when you're spiritually, physically, figuratively speaking, only when your shoes are off and you stand like Moses in God's presence can you walk with Jesus. He says, you've got to be a servant. I am. To walk with him. Satan lifted himself up. Isaiah describes this so clearly in the 14th chapter of his book. He tells how Satan said, I'll lift myself up. I'll exalt myself. Self-exaltation is death. Humility is life. Pride stinks. The smell of death is in pride. The fragrance that filled the room is with humility. Humble people, there's a fragrance about godly humility. It has fragrance. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Pride. All pride. All pride. Say all.
All.
Say it loud.
All
pride.
Is
devilish. The devil is proud. All of pride is devilish. It's all from Satan. He wants you to lift yourself up, be like him, because the Bible is so clear. He that exalts himself, I will abase. James says that. He that humbles himself, I will exalt. We've got to walk with Jesus in humility, in servanthood, to walk with him, get his presence. Now, this whole book, all of the kings and the last of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles is about one thing. Kings that God anointed when they were humble and they walked with God, when they were exalted, every one of them fell over and over and over. Saul was anointed of the least of the tribes, of the least of the families, anointed as king, King Saul. He gets prosperous, gets blessed, gets exalted, and he falls. And Samuel says to him, when he has disobeyed God, and the kingdom is being stripped from him. And Samuel says to King Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, you were king and you were blessed. But now that you're exalted, the kingdom is stripped from you and given to someone else, to King David, a humble man. King David, if you read the story in Kings, when King David finally has victory after victory, and is now, to put it in my own words, he is honored all over the world. The known world is honoring David. And in the next page, the next chapter, he falls into sin. He falls and takes Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, has a sexual relationship with her, child is born, kills Uriah, murders Uriah, and Nathan comes to David and says, tells him that story. You know the story about the man. There was two men in this town, a rich, rich, rich man and a poor, poor man. And the poor man had one little lamb, and that lamb lived just like one of their children, and he ate at the table, and they loved this lamb, and the children loved him. And if you love animals like I did, our dog was a part of our family, and our animal was just, our dog was part of the family. And this is the way this lamb was. And Nathan tells David this story, and he says, and the guest came to visit the rich man, and he goes and takes the lamb from this poor man and slaughters it and has a feast for his friends. And David says, that man that would do a thing like that will die. Who is he, Nathan? I'll kill him. And Nathan said, David, you are that man. David is the king. David humbles himself and says, I've sinned, you're right. Humbles himself. The power of humility, even when you've done wrong. David humbles himself, and God forgives him. And there's never a king that rises to the honor of God like David. He sinned, he fell, but he repented. He humbled himself. If you are lifted up, all sin is always pride. All sin comes out of pride. Adultery comes out of pride. All this, Judas's sin of greed comes out of pride. All of it comes out of pride. That's the father of sin, is pride, is Satan. Humility doesn't do that. Humility, if you walk in humility, God will keep you. But you have to walk in humility. All pride is devilish. Humility is of Jesus. He was the humblest man that ever lived. He walked in humility, gave himself, as I tried poorly to describe to you, that he took our place, and he says, take the place of a servant. Walk humbly. I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. I'll have to put you down, he said. Walk humbly and let me bless you. But when these kings got greatly blessed, they fell. Most all, they fell. And Solomon never came back. David comes back. And one of the latter kings, some of them come back. But it's the story of God blessing and getting lifted up and taking the credit and God bringing them down. That's the story. Humility. Walk with Jesus. Take your shoes off and walk with Jesus. Moses, take your shoes off and keep them off. And walk with God and deliver the people of Israel. Ben Crandall, take your shoes off and watch it. Keep them off. I have to say that to myself often, folks. Take your shoes off and keep them off. Because you can only walk with God when you walk without your shoes. When you walk in humility, you walk with God. When you walk with humility, you walk with God, and the blessing comes on you, and God will bless you, and He will take care of you. He wants to bless you. But remember Jesus. How can we do anything but walk humbly when you walk with Him? When you think of how He walked, how He lived. One man says, I'll follow you anywhere you go, Jesus. I love you. I am blessed. I've seen these miracles. I'll go with you. He says, son, do you know what you're saying? He says, foxes have holes, and then they have nests, and birds have nests. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a home. I don't have a bed. I don't own anything, son. If you're following me, be careful. I don't have anything. I don't know what happened to that man. I don't hear any more about him. Yes, follow Jesus. Follow him as a servant and be blessed. Oh, the blessing of walking next to God. The peace of walking with Jesus. The joy of walking with Jesus. The blessing of coming down You know, sometimes the things we dislike most are the things that bless us. My poverty was a blessing because it helped me to be humble. It gave me every reason I needed to be humble. We were so poor, I always tell you, it's the truth. We were so poor, the poor people felt we were poor. You know, that was so that's when you really know you're poor, because everybody knows you're poor, you know. And I had no father, and we lived so poor. Never saw my father till I was a young man, and I didn't even know where he was, didn't know anything about him. And he had left before I was born. And in school, and asked me, "And your father?" I didn't have a father. And we were poor, really poor. No income, just living. God provided, but it was we lived by God's provision, but we were poor. No car. I never owned a bicycle in all of my life. Never did. All the boys, everybody had a bike. I never had a bicycle. Never did. Never owned a grove with nothing. Can remember going to church in the fall of the year, and no shoes, and keeping my feet under the bench in front of me so that folks wouldn't see I didn't have shoes on. We didn't have any money. We couldn't buy any shoes at that time, and I got some later on, but I can never forget walking and being so ashamed of being barefoot. But being barefoot was a blessing to me because it helped me to come to Christ and to recognize Him. Because humility is a blessing. God helped me and called me. God did it. And you know, folks, the things that it helped me, because it helps you not to be proud. It helped me. And I look back and I say, I thank you, Jesus, that I didn't have anything. I thank you for it. It was tough, but I thank you because it became a blessing to me. It helped me to cry out to Jesus, to realize I needed God. We need God. Folks, let's don't ever get lifted up. God, help me, help you walk with Jesus. Walk humbly. Don't let Satan lift you up. When he does, find a reason, because there's lots of them. Come down and walk with Jesus. Take your shoes off. Moses, take your shoes off. When you put them on, you'll walk by yourself. When you take them off, you can walk with me, because Jesus walked to the cross. Some of us are going to be called on in the days ahead to pay the ultimate price for our Christianity. It's happened in other points of the world, and it's going to happen in America. It's going to happen too. Yes, it is. Troublous times are coming. It's to humble ourselves and walk with Him. When the hour comes that we need to pay a price for Christianity, let's pay it. Pay the price. Walk with Jesus, because the glory, the presence of God at the end of the day, I want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear it today. I want you to hear it. God wants you to hear it. God wants you to. He cares. And we pray for these young people. God, give them the courage whenever the need comes and the call comes. Whatever the call is, when it comes, say yes to God. Whoa, to walk with Him, to have His blessing. And when we come to the end of the road, to hear that voice, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, there is no way to describe the glory that's going to be forever and ever and ever to be with Him. Eternity is coming. It's around the corner. Let's walk with Jesus. Don't listen to Satan that says, "Exalt yourself, lift yourself up." No, the smell of death is in pride. The smell of the fragrance of Jesus Christ is within humility. Humble folks have fragrance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fragrance filled the room. Moses kept his shoes off. He put them on one time and missed God, and he wasn't able to walk in the promised land. But Moses was one of the greats of all times. He kept his shoes off. Once he put them on, and God, at the end, we know that God was with him because of what he says. He made it. He repented. He made it. And King David became failed. When you fail, repent. God can forgive you. His forgiving power is beyond imagination. He forgave David. And I will close with one of the last kings of Judah. One of the last kings was Manasseh. Was one of the worst. It says he was the worst. And then they took him and bound his hands and captured him and took him as a prisoner to Syria, took him off and suffered. He suffered so terribly. And it says, and he humbled himself exceedingly and cried out to God, and God forgave him and brought him back and put him back on the throne. It's one of the greatest stories, is the last story in the book of Chronicles. Right at the very end, you'll read Manasseh's story. Because God's forgiving power. Don't let the devil tell you that God won't forgive you. That is a lie. God, if you will humble yourself, he will forgive you and wipe it out. He died on the cross to forgive us of all of our sins. And when Manasseh came back, I said, that's a picture of the worst sinner, that God will take him back when he humbles himself. When you humble yourself and cry out to God and reach out to him, he is there to take you back and to wipe your sins away and to set you back. That's God Almighty, and we want to praise him forever and ever. And this afternoon, let's humble ourselves and let's cry out to him. And if you've made a mistake, don't let the devil tell you it's all over. That's a lie. Humble yourself. Come down and accept his forgiveness. And let's go through and let's meet him when he comes and be ready. God bless you, everyone.
Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful word. I've found that just like Moses and just like any person who's ever had the wonderful privilege of knowing the Lord, there is an inherent humility in the revelation of God. In other words, I found that when we stand in God's presence, the natural response is to humble ourselves. It's kind of hard to think that you're tall, do you know what I mean? Or that you're big when you are in the presence of the Almighty. He has a way of reminding us of who he is and what he's like. I've seen a lot of things in life and had a lot of experiences and so on and so forth, and things that I think should have humbled me. Sometimes they did, sometimes they made me more proud, but I found the one thing that has never failed to humble me is the glory of God. There is something about that presence that causes a person to fall on their face. You hear the Lord saying to Moses, put off your shoes from off your feet. And as Pastor Ben reminded us, it's because he's in a holy place. He's beholding the glory of God. And God is, at the same time he's telling Moses to humble himself, he's revealing aspects and elements of his own character. He's talking about his covenant faithfulness, and he's talking about his covenant compassion. And he's talking about his healing power and his delivering power and how he came to free God's people personally, how he came to free them himself, how he heard their cries, how their pain touched his heart, and how he kept his promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and how glorious he is, and yet he's still speaking to Moses, as the Bible says, as a friend speaks to his friend. As God begins to reveal his character to us, he shows us his compassion and his faithfulness. He shows us his communion, and he shows us his capacity to deliver, but not just to deliver, but as we heard, he delivers personally. He came through his only begotten Son and freed us personally. When we see who he is, when we hear his name, when he unfolds his character, when he shows us his beauty and shows us his glory, the only true response is prostration. The only true response is worship. The only thing that ultimately humbles you and me is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, as we heard this afternoon. If you and I open our hearts to God's revelation, allowing him to open the scriptures to us and revealing himself in us and showing his goodness through us as we reach out to other people, there is an inherent and inevitable humility that comes with that. God knows how to show us. All you have to do is walk out these streets and you see these tall buildings. And when you do that, you remind yourself, you know, that as tall as you are, you're not that tall. Do you know what I mean? And so likewise, you know, you go to the Rocky Mountains and you see these mountains and you think, man, as tall as I am, I'm not that tall. How much more when we enter into the presence of the Lord? And as tall as we might think we are, as good as we might think we are, as great as we might think we are, when we enter into that holy presence, everything in us says, fall on your face. Everything in us says, put off your shoes from off of your feet. What a revelation we had this afternoon. Not only in the words of our pastor, but in his life, we've seen what God has done in his life and how God has used him. And we've seen an example of humility. In a very real sense, God showed us his glory today. He opened the word to us. Wonderful description of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. Everything in us should say, in the presence of that goodness, in the presence of that glory, in the presence of that mercy, in the presence of that love, there's nothing else for me but to humble myself, to fall on my face before this glorious Savior. I want to pray with you this afternoon. And I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. God, give us a revelation of your goodness. Show us who you are. Show us your compassion. Show us your covenant faithfulness. Show us that you concern yourself with the very feelings of our infirmities. And you come to help us personally. You come to help us yourself. As Moses said, it's not enough for you to send your angel. We need your presence. The God who comes to us personally and says, I feel the deep pain of your heart. I feel the slightest concern of your heart. And I am here personally to help. Show us your glory. And in doing so, cause us to fall on our face before your beauty, before your goodness, before your mercy, before your kindness, before your generosity, before your liberty. Help us, oh God, to know you, to see you, to love you, to bless you. Because if we do that, we will live our life prostrate before God with our shoes off our feet every day because of the goodness of God. My prayer is simple. God, show us your glory. Remember, that's what Moses prayed. Show me your glory. We're going to stand in a moment. And if God is speaking to your heart and you want to pray, we'll ask you to come to the front of this auditorium. And prayer is simply, God, show me your glory. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. God, show me your glory. We will be humble in your presence. We will be humble before your holy name. We will be humble in the presence of your compassion, in the presence of your concern, in the presence of your covenant faithfulness, in the presence of your healing power, in the presence of your very personal touch. Humble us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue to come to the front, my brothers and my sisters. We'll pray together in Jesus' holy name. I'm just going to read you a portion of scripture from the book of Philippians. And it reminds us of the way that the Lord is expecting us to be based on who he is in us. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. 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 Father, we behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Lord, Isaiah asked us, who has seen the arm of the Lord? Who has seen his power? Who has seen his glory? And then he points to the cross. Lord, show us your glory. Show us the cross of Jesus Christ once again. Show us what true humility looks like, and also show us the source of our humility. Jesus, you laid your life down so that you, by the Holy Spirit, could live in us and through us, giving us what we need, and more than that, who we need to maintain a life of humility. Lord, we ask, even as we heard this afternoon, that we never, ever put our shoes back on, but that we continually allow you to wash our feet. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have such a perpetual and continual revelation of your cross, that we live our lives prostrate at your feet, like the dust at the foot of the cross, that we simply rejoice in who you are. Spirit of Jesus, our prayer is that we behold you every day. God, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Pray your hand upon each one, O Jesus. Help us. Help us to rejoice in humility. Help us to exalt in humility. Let the reality that we live a life laid out before you be our definition of success and of victory and of liberty. Help us to remember your words. Over and over again, you remind us how blessed we are when we are humbled and when we are poor in spirit. God, in Jesus' name, show us your glory. We thank you for this, O Jesus, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.